Final hour of this edition of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We'll take you up to 6, and then you'll get Fox Sports Radio. And at 937, pregame coverage begins with the Tribe as they get set to do battle with the San Francisco Giants out on the West Coast. 10:05, the scheduled first pitch. Hopefully the Tribe can find a way to snap that four-game slide. Joining us now is one of our good buddies. Every week we rely on his insight to give us the lowdown of what's happening in Hollywood. He is Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Lovely. Just lovely. And, boy, so we start with some unfortunate news. And just wanted to kind of get your thoughts.
It's not R. Kelly's woman cult, is it?
No, God, no. I mean, I didn't want to go there, but you already did. I kind of thought R. Kelly was out of the limelight. Like, aren't his 15 minutes up?
No, I guess not. It seems like, for some reason, when, you know, you pee on underage women, we kind of forgot about that and didn't vilify him the way Cosby was or other people that have done stuff in that realm. And we kind of just forgot and was like, oh, it's just R. Kelly. And so he kind of got a pass, and he kind of ruined that pass by whatever it is he is doing. It kind of sounds, you know, all the information coming through sounds a little nutty. So he's definitely done, and he's definitely in Cosby territory right now, where it's going to be awkward even playing an R. Kelly song. So
I would agree with that. Yeah.
If all of this stuff is true, it's going to be a weird next couple of months in the R. Kelly sphere.
Yeah, I'd like to stay out of the R. Kelly sphere. If you know what I'm saying. I don't want anything to do with that. But let's get back to the subject at hand. You know, we start with some unfortunate news.
How do you transition from that? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Bringing us there. That's on me. I apologize.
No. You're good. Look, that's worthy of discussion. There's no question about that. Because, look, I mean, you bring up a very interesting point. He was kind of sort of given a free pass because he did all that stuff long before things really and truly became viral. And you're right. We never really refer back to that, as awful as that was. But this is just as bad, if not worse, what they're saying he's doing now.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to say what's worse and what's not worse, whether having a cult of women of age that are, you know, supposedly did it on their own vote. Whatever, they're, you know, or if he peed on underage women. I don't know what's worse, but they're both bad.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, it is what it is at this point. R. Kelly was out of it, and now he's going to be back in the limelight. And this is not a story that's going to go away quickly.
No.
So.
Yeah, nor should it. Well, I mean, the news there is bad. The news over the weekend was bad, but it refers to two very good guys. And the influence of these guys, I wanted to kind of pick your brain on. You know, of course,
yeah.
In case you missed it, the death of both Martin Landau and George A. Romero, they passed away this weekend. And you know, both guys remember for different reasons. But what can you add as far as the influence of these two guys?
Well, it's kind of crazy to me is because you have two different people. You have someone like George A. Romero whose track record isn't as... his track record doesn't have as many titles on it as, say, someone like, you know, Martin Landau or these other people we're talking about, but he did Night of the Living Dead, which is, you know, one of the first zombie movies, and because of that was unbelievably influential, even if he didn't have the track record that some of these people do. And then you have someone like Martin Landau, who's just an amazing actor, but I wouldn't necessarily consider him influential. He never had even though he was a Academy Award winner for Ed Wood, he never had a role that really, like, is one you talk about all the time or one that really influenced the generation. He was an actor, you know, 30 years in the business before he got his, like, first Academy Award nomination. And he was mostly a television actor. He's a fantastic actor, one of the best we had, but I don't know if I would consider him an influential actor, while George Romero, who doesn't, like I said, only done a couple films that are really noteworthy, but the guy started the zombie genre, so you have to give him the huge credit for that, as you've seen recently how big that genre's gotten.
Sure. I mean, without him, I think you could certainly make the argument that you would have never turned me on to Zombieland all those years ago, right?
No, nope. You probably there would be no Walking Dead. There would be no no World War Z, no Zombieland. You know, Zack Snyder wouldn't have a career because his career started by remaking a George Romero movie. So for that, I'm kind of angry at him for, but that's another conversation. But, yeah. The zombie genre is a genre because of George Romero. So for that, he's unbelievably influential.
Got to ask you this. I mean, we touched on the Game of Thrones, Thrones thing last week. I've never watched it. You mentioned that if you're going to watch it, you've got to go back to the beginning. You can't just pick it up in season 7, which debuted last night. Now,
yeah.
Aside from the HBO Go issues that apparently were rampant yesterday, what was your takeaway from the start of season 7? Of the Game of Thrones?
Well, it started with a huge bang. I don't want to put anything away, but it was one of the best season intros they've had as far as, like, before credit sequences. Just really was well done and really knocked it out of the park and kind of got you set. And then it slowed down, and then it became a Game of Thrones episode where it's, eight, 10-minute scenes of talking, of establishing where the season's going to go, where the characters are going, bringing up the old feuds and, you know, reestablishing a lot of plot points and also moving the story forward. I thought maybe with, 14 episodes left, they might push things a little quicker, but it seems like they're sticking with their tried and true formula where it starts off slow and picks up steam in the later half of the season. But that being said, it was a well-done episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm can't wait for the season to unfold.
I heard Ed Sheeran or something makes an appearance in this. That was obviously pretty big on Facebook I saw last night. How was his acting debut in Game of Thrones?
Well, it was kind of jarring because you don't really see like these stunt cameos in something like Game of Thrones. And you don't really see a lot of like big actors because most of the cast was unknown when they cast it. And seeing someone like Ed Sheeran, they had him singing as one of the characters walked up. So it was a bit jarring. We're like, wait, is that Ed Sheeran? Like, who's singing that? And then he didn't really have many lines after that, but he was fine. It just seemed like a weird bit of casting for something as big of Game of Thrones is.
We're talking with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, so this was perhaps some of the biggest news that came out of the weekend. With D23, there were some pretty interesting things going on there, and apparently there was footage released from the filming of the new Avengers movie, Infinity War. What kind of reaction are you hearing about that? Because you hear a lot of people coming to the defense of the Avengers saying how great it's going to be, but now I'm hearing some rumblings about how the Justice League might be better, but this really sounds like it could be really awesome.
Well, I'm going to take Marvel over DC until they make at least one good movie. And Justice League, like I said, with Zack Snyder starting off, I don't see it being good. I could be wrong. But that being said, from what I heard from the Avengers is I heard it looked good. I heard there were some people were intrigued by it. But from what I heard, it just seems like it's going to be overstuffed. Like they said, there's, I guess, a fight scene that they mentioned that might have 30 characters in it. Everyone from the Avengers, like, everyone from the Marvel Universe, whether it's the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, all the Marvel movies, Black Panther, Spider-Man, it seems like they're all involved in this, which makes it seem like it's going to be way overstuffed. The last one was overstuffed, and it had like half the characters, so we'll see. I'm a little tepid on it. I do like the idea of James Brolin being the big bad, but we'll see how it goes.
It seems like every time you think the comic book movies are sort of going to come to an end, something sort of re-sparks that fire. And I think it was Wonder Woman this holiday, or not holiday season, but this summer. And then, of course, Spider-Man follows it up, although it got knocked off by the War of the Planet of the Apes over the weekend. But and people seem to love them. And they come back to the true ones, the Wonder Woman, the Spider-Man, the Captain Americas. Those always seem to do well.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is now even, like, the lesser-known superheroes, like, the Black Panther.
Sure,
which
Doctor
Strange. I'm way looking forward to that. That looks like something different, and it's got a great cast. they're not a very known superhero. We saw Doctor Strange last year. I really didn't know who Doctor Strange was, besides, you know, maybe hearing it offhand. And we got a Captain Marvel movie coming out, I think, next year with Brie Larson starring as Captain Marvel. So it's a lot of these, like, second and third tier comic book superheroes that are getting their own movies, and they're doing well with them. And because of that, you're not going to see an end to them doing this. But supposedly this Avengers is, I think, the end of phase four of the MCU universe, and it's supposed to close the door on that. And they're going to start a whole new universe with phase five, with, like I said, with Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Black Panther. And we'll see. And they're going to keep mining. And some like Guardians of the Galaxy, which even like huge comic book nerds that I'm friends with know about Guardians of the Galaxy. It was so rare and unknown that like it was kind of shocking that they got that much money to make it and that it did so well in the box office.
D23 brought up a lot of interesting conversation. So it wasn't just the Avengers that stole the headlines from there, but it was also the release. There was some more footage, and actually more behind-the-scenes footage that was released of The Last Jedi, which, depending on who you talk to, could end up being the biggest movie of the year. Now, what kinds of things are you hearing about this behind-the-scenes footage that's been released about The Last Jedi? Because it sounds like there wasn't anything too groundbreaking, but what have you heard?
Well, I'm going to go on a limb and not say it'll be the biggest movie of the year. I think it's going to be the best Star Wars of all eight of them. I really do. I have nothing but faith, and it's one of my favorite directors out right now who's directing this, Rian Johnson, who did the movies Brick, which I think is one of the most underrated movies to come out in the last 10 years, Brothers Bloom, which was good, and Looper, which is great, and then he directed some of the best episodes of Breaking Bad. This guy knows how to mind tension in movies, knows how to build character, and the fact that he wrote the script to this, and J.J. Abrams said after he read the script, he wished he had directed this film. That's how good the script was. And if you look in some of that behind-the-scenes footage, you have that vibe from the actors saying, I think John Boyega says how like groundbreaking that Rian Johnson is and how they're pushing what a Star Wars movie can be. And so I'm super excited for it. The behind-the-scenes footage didn't really, you know, say anything about the plot or anything, but it showed some really cool effects they're doing. There's some swimming stuff, some of the new characters. Saw Laura Dern in pink hair, which has got me excited. So I just, nothing they can do right now can get me more amped and a lot of, you know, cinema folk. So I'm just excited to see how it comes out. And that will definitely, if it's not the biggest movie of the year, I will be stunned.
Well, I guess to go to our next question here, I wouldn't say we were stunned to see this. I was a little bit surprised, though. Were you surprised at all to see the box office results of this weekend with the War for the Planet of the Apes knocking off Spider-Man Homecoming?
Not really. The Planet of the Apes has really built itself up. The last two movies were great. I actually rewatched them this weekend instead of seeing the new one, which I need to see. But they're really well-done movies, and they really build up the characters, and they build up the world that they have. And they're just really well-done blockbusters. And I think people know that, and they like the first two a lot. And so it had that, like we said, you know, built-in viewership. It was going to do well. I'm not surprised it knocked off Spider-Man, but I'm just surprised both of them didn't do as well as I thought. I think Planet of the Apes made like $50 million. Spider-Man made like $40 million. I thought both of them would do more this weekend. But I'm not surprised at all that Planet of the Apes beat off Spider-Man.
What kinds of picks to click do you have for us this week, my friend?
Well, there is a show this Thursday coming out on Netflix called Ozark, starring Jason Bateman and Laura Linney, who I haven't seen in a while, and every time she's in a movie, I get excited. It's basically kind of like a Southern noir about if I remember correctly, some money laundering in, like, the Ozark Mountains. I've heard mixed things, but it's definitely my type of show with that Southern vibe. And I always like Jason Bateman and Laura Linney, so I'm excited for it. And it seems like it might be more on the Bloodline spectrum of Netflix than, like, Orange is the New Black, Glow, or House of Cards. But I'm still excited for it, so we'll see how that goes.
Very nice, my friend. Well, hey, we're going to cut you loose on this one. This is our poll question of the day. You ready for it?
Yes.
Would you rather be a famous singer, famous actor or actress, or would you rather be a famous athlete? Which of those three?
I'd say actor. Okay. I feel like I have to. I'm the Hollywood insider, right? I gotta pick that.
Sure.
But yeah, I've always loved movies, always. And you know me, I'm big into music, sports, and movies. Like, I love all three. But as far as that, yeah, something about Hollywood, something being in film, being able to create worlds, being able to make characters their own. Yeah, I would definitely pick a famous actor over the other two.
Okay.
Plus, you know, don't have to work every day, like playing basketball or baseball. Yeah, I'm good. I could be an actor. And touring with music concerts, that just sounds exhausting. So we'll go with the easy way and say actor.
That's exactly what I said. He's the only one that doesn't require 365 days.
Exactly.
Al, always a pleasure, my friend. We appreciate the time, and we will do it again next week.
All right, sounds good. I'll talk to you guys later.
All righty. That's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.